Welcome back, Skigglers, for another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. I'm Pascal, and I'm joined by my co-host Bryson. How's it going tonight, buddy?
Hi, Pascal. It's going good. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. We're also joined by Isaline. How's it going?
Very good, thanks.
Well, tonight we have a special discussion that has been requested by a number of our listeners over the time. And ever since we sat down with our friends from the Swiss Enduro series, people have wondered what the development paths are into enduro, getting into enduro racing, more enduro riding. So we thought, let's sit down and talk about it. But before we do that, maybe we should talk a little bit more about Isaline and her background. And I guess the real question is, knowing where you live, and you live in Villar, well, that's your home base, did you ever have a choice to not become a skier or a mountain biker?
Yes, actually, I tried a lot of different sports when I was young, when I was a kid. So we run. I did the running club, the swimming club. I also did a lot of climbing with my parents. So yeah, it's mountain related, but it's still some choice to do. And I specialized in ski racing at a young age, but I had to choose between what I was doing. But I chose skiing, and I did a lot of skiing for a few years. And then when I stopped skiing, I tried mountain biking because it was something to do. I needed another sport to fill my time, I think. And yeah, that's it.
Well, I guess for the listener, we need to paint a picture of where you're actually from. So on the one hand, you have the mountains. On the other hand, you have the valley floor. And in between, there is a lot of snow and a lot of trails. So can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what it is like growing up in Villar and that region in general?
Yeah, in winter, of course, you go skiing a lot because there is some snow and you have the piste, so you ski. And in summer, you can go to the lake, you can do a lot of things. You can go road biking in the valley, like you said, or mountain biking in the mountain. So there is plenty to do.
But the region in general is kind of a hotbed of bike racing, right? So you have, on the one hand, you have, you know, the Tour de Suisse is coming through every year, and the Tour de Romandie is coming through every year. All the original mountain bike races in Switzerland are in the region. You have downhill tracks, which are relatively close by. You have like the first kind of enduro series-ish things that are in the region. So has bike racing always been present for you? And how were you seeing that when you came up in that area?
Funny thing, I didn't even did mountain biking, but I went to see the Champéry, the World Championship of downhill biking. I think it was in 2010 when Danny Hart won in the rain. It was kind of an epic run. So I was there because it was very close to where I lived. But I didn't do any mountain biking at all. But otherwise, no, we didn't see a lot of race biking. Of course, road biking, yes, but not mountain biking. We didn't have any bike parks or trails built to do downhill biking. But when I started biking when I was like 18, I went with friends, and of course there is like secret trails and unofficial trails, just not very built, but like free riding a lot around my place. So yeah, we did this, not the official mountain biking, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, Bryson, you may remember that we have visited the area a little while back. What was your recollection of the trails in that area?
Actually, I never thought about people growing up in these trails. I would kind of, in my mind, I would think if people grew up around these trails, they would be really good riders by the time they like figure out how to like ride the full line without stopping or dabbing. So actually, as she described it, the question that came to my mind was, when she's out there with her friends, like I can understand, like I can relate also. I just like went out to the woods with my friends. We tried things, but I didn't try things at like that magnitude or that risk factor. So either we rode different trails or you learned really quick to stay up on your bike.
Actually, I think it was the second answer is like I learned very quick because I went out with my best friend. He had like a downhill bike, a very old one, but a downhill bike. And I had a cross-country bike, like with full suspension, but very small suspension. And we did the run in Crayon that you know. And he said to me at some point, he said, okay, are you good with a very steep section? I was like, I did some steep sections. I think I'm good. We can try. And said, okay, let's go. Follow me. And we tried. And I was like, okay, this is downhill biking. It's a bit scary. It's a bit steeper than I thought. But yeah, so it's how I started. I think it was a bit brutal at first, I think. But it was good. It was fun.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, the human brain gets used to a lot of things, right? And your baseline for steep is just very steep.
Yeah.
So I guess whatever things get thrown at you on a racetrack are not very intimidating anymore. Or how's that feeling when you face other terrain actually?
Actually, yeah, if it's steep, it's okay. And if there is some big roots, even slippery roots, I think I'm good, pretty good. But if there is big rocks or mountain terrain, it's very new for me. Now I know how to ride in it. But at first I was a bit, not scared, but it was something new, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then what if it gets a little flatter and you have to pedal hard? Are you a little bit like, oh, this isn't my element? I'd rather just, gravity fed, or.
Yeah, at first I was like this, but now I can, because now I rode now I ride a lot in Neuchâtel. So there is small sections, very technical stuff downhill, but then you have to pedal a little bit to go on another section. And they do a race here where they link the trails like this. They do the steep sections, and then you have to ride very hard to do the other one. And it's like races are built now. I think I got used to it by racing. I think more than just by biking on by myself with my friends.
Okay, yeah. So you have a training aspect that's kind of brought you into a more all-rounded rider. I guess also visiting other tracks and getting experience.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. But the the first time we met, that was at an equally epic edition of the Enduro 2, as it was called at the time. Today it's called Enduro Team. 2019, there was a lot of snow. It was very cold, very wet. I think you were just out of junior at the time. Or just entering the U21s. So it's obviously been a couple of years since then. How has your racing progressed since then?
Yeah, it was a kind of a long time ago for me, I would say. Actually, I had to scroll on my Instagram feed to see when it was. And it was in 2019, at the end of 2019. So just after that, I traveled to New Zealand with my bike. And so this was kind of a highlight of this past few years. And I did some racing there just to discover the place and also ride with friends that were there. And then when I came back, it was COVID time. So I didn't do races for like 1 year, just one in the summer, but not a lot of races, just ride my bike. Actually, I rode a lot my bike in 2020 because with New Zealand in winter and Switzerland in summer, I had two summer back to back. So rode a lot, and yeah, and I think I progressed a lot because of that. And then I took the sport a bit more seriously. I saw that I was a bit weak physically speaking, and when I was going down, I was dead after 2 minutes. So I think, yeah, maybe it's better if I want to get more serious in the sport, I have to train a little bit more. So I took a physical coach, Myriam Soji, and since then it was like game on, I would say. I trained a lot. I set some goals to achieve a little bit, and yeah, I did some racing. And long story short, last year I did two EWS, the one in Cromontana and the one in Loudonville, and also the rider solo in Finale Ligure. So yeah, came a long way since we last raced together.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Talk to us about the highlights. I mean, of course, Finale last year must have been a highlight. You were on the podium. What else? What else can you tell us about those years?
Whoa. Wait a second, Pascal. What was that sound?
I started using that sound whenever we wanted to say something about our social or where you guys can find more information about the Skits and Giggles podcast. We are currently most active on our Instagram, where you can skit right into our DMs and follow along at Skits and Giggles. And you can find our website with all the relevant links and info under the URL skitsandgiggles.com. Also, if you guys like what we're doing and want to know what's up, just give us a follow on Spotify, hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to great podcasts. Finally, sharing episodes you enjoy on your socials or a heartfelt 5-star rating on your favorite platform goes a long way in helping us reach more cool people like you. Right on, with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Swiss Enduro Series was very good, actually, to discover new places more than just and also the format. The format was very good because it was kind the same as EWS. So it was really good to prepare myself at EWS, and then I jumped in the real pro circuits at the end of last year in Cromontana, and there was also epic condition with some snow in the training days and very slippery in the race day, but I finished 26th. I think, yeah, 26. So it was pretty good for my first EWS. And then traveled all the way to Loudonville, the other side of the France, to find also epic conditions where it was very slippery and rainy. And I finished 23rd, even with like a big crash in the race. And Finale was it's a very long race, a very long day out there, and very long stages. It's like 16 minutes of stage, 16 and 17 minutes of downhill, full downhill. So there, it was very epic.
Listening to you talk about enduro, we can really tell that you're invested and it has your heart, or mountain biking in general, let's say. But how does that compare to your skiing? Did you have that love for skiing as well back then? And do you still love to ski now?
So back then, it was a bit different because really ski and mountain biking is very two different worlds. I think skiing in competition in Switzerland is very competitive. You have to think like we have 100 girls, Swiss girls, at the start of one race. It's not like enduro biking where we are like 10 in regional races or even in worldwide races. We are 30, I think, or maybe 40. It's really a big sport, and so it's very competitive, and things are done very seriously, and you have to train hard and stuff like this. So I loved to do some races in skiing. I love to ski, but the energy around the competition and the races, it was very hard to to live, actually, let's say. But and then when I started mountain biking, I discovered people very nice, very welcoming, and the competition came second, I think. Like races, it was good because you met a lot of different person. I met my best friends in races, and yeah, it's just a big day out there. So this part of the sport, I like every part of this sport because of this, because the energy around the race is very good. But yeah, I like to ski. I'm a ski teacher, actually. So I like to teach two young kids how to ski, but just have the fun part of skiing and not too much competition and races and slalom and everything. So
you mentioned like a really big contrast between skiing and mountain biking competition. Is that another thing that keeps you in mountain biking itself, is just having the people around you?
Yeah, of course. It's really a big thing. Even if I had to stop racing, I will continue to do mountain biking. It's just, I don't do mountain biking for the races. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's just one thing that comes with it. I like to compete, and I like to discover a lot of places, new different places, and it's a good way to discover trails when you just race. And I progressed a lot these past few years, and I discovered that I was not so bad at it. So I think that now I train, I do some training, some serious stuff to get better at racing. But part of my training is just to go out with my friends. So I think that says everything.
All right. So I think we should also preface for the listeners, you're not a professional racer, right?
No.
You're doing this because you love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have some sponsors. I have some supports behind me, but I'm not paid. I'm not in a pro team. I would like to be at some point, but I'm like, I did some pro races, but I'm not quite there yet.
Right, because you still have the ski job and you're going to school, right?
Yeah, I'm studying too. So yeah, I do a lot of different things at the same time.
But bringing it back to racing, you're going to be doing an EDR calendar this year, right?
Actually, it's a bit complicated because last year I was selected to do the EWS with the pro. So I failed the criteria to do pro races. But now with the change to from EWS to EDR, UCI World Cup, I don't fit the criteria anymore. Uh-huh. And so it will have, maybe at the mid-season, I will be in the pro races, but I don't know yet because they didn't publish the rule book yet. So it's all of these things are a bit uncertain. So no, now I'm not in the EDR.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not up to date also on the changes and all the differences and racing in general, I'd say. Not as much as Pascal, let's say.
That's the whole problem. No one really knows what the story is with EDR, uh-huh. Right? So,
exactly. So.
That is the key challenge at this stage is that a lot of things are still up in the air. So we're recording this on the 16th of March. Racing is about to kick off in 2 weeks, I think. And yeah, a lot of riders still don't quite know what the format is, what the criteria are. I hear a lot of good things is planned, but no one really knows what those good things are. But yeah, I'm curious, what is your feeling about the EDR, apart from not being right in it from the beginning?
I think that EDR will bring some light on the sport, but I don't know which kind of light, if I can say, if it will be positive or maybe neutral or maybe negative, because filming our sports, it will be a big challenge to film it, to showcast our sports, to show what it is really to the races to race enduro. But yeah, it will bring some more attention from the public.
Oh, probably, yeah. More eyeballs on it is generally a good thing for the people in it. So if you're a racer, especially looking to maybe make a living or at least part of your living out of the sport at some stage, more eyeballs on the sport is probably not a bad thing. I guess before we start talking about a little bit more about the development and what the things are that are a bit more important for younger riders to get into the sport, and maybe also for the casual listener that, you know, maybe heard of downhill and enduro and cross country and heard of those things, maybe we should talk a couple of, you know, say a few words about what is actually enduro.
Great idea.
So Bryson, what you as the casual observer of racing, what is enduro to you?
It's a stage race format. So you primarily race on the downs. There can be some climbs and flat sections, but they're like down, basically like mini downhills linked up one after another with like a liaison stage between, where you go, you either reset to an elevation again so you can descend again, or you travel kind of like maybe crossways to a different maybe zone or mountain face or track, and then you can race the next stage. And then you do a series of stages in a day or 2 days, depending on the event and the venue. It could be 3 days, could be a week, depending on the style of racing you do. And the great thing about enduro, from what I understood previously, was you are racing the same tracks as the pros. So you can show up as like Billy Bob on your grandma's stump jumper. And yeah, you're able to race the same tracks. And so I think that's pretty cool because you can like have a beer with them after, right?
Okay, that's good. Good shot, Isaline. What is your take on enduro? How would you explain it to someone that has not really heard about it?
I have to mention, if someone knows what is a rally, automobile rally, car rally, I think it came from there, because you have liaison and stages. So the liaison part, it's normally uphill, and it's to get up the beginning of the downhill. And the downhill sections are stages, and they are timed. And you do like 5 stages or 6 stages in the day, and you add up the time, and the person who gets faster down these 5 tracks wins. And it's a big day out there. Normally with friends, because you do all the uphill going pretty chill up the hill, because it's that timed, and you wait for your friends, you have a chat, and you just go full gas on the downhill. So yeah, pretty fun.
Okay, I think you both make a few great points, and I just want to pick out some of those to maybe summarize it. I guess the key thing is it's generally how people ride with their friends. That's why it's so freaking popular, because what do you do when you ride with your friends? You just do a little pedal, you take it easy, you chat on the uphill, then you have a, you know, small snack at the top and maybe a drink, and then you bomb down the trail, everyone regroups at the bottom, you ride up to the next one, you do the same thing, and you repeat until everyone is tired. Some people have beers afterwards, other beverages, whatever rocks your boat. But yes, it's very similar. And I guess, you know, for people that are not very familiar with the format, I generally also try to explain it with a car rally, because that the format is pretty similar. But I think it's in contrast to, let's say, the traditional racing formats. So on the two extremes, right, one would be cross country, and the other one is downhill, is enduro is in that sense a bit more the participation sport. So generally everyone can join in, you know, pros and amateurs, they all ride on the same tracks, unlike downhill, which is very elite, certainly the World Cup circuit. And yeah, so that's why I guess it's enduro is so popular, and everyone likes to do it. If we start thinking about someone getting into enduro, you know, let's say a young kid from Villar is coming up to you at the, you know, what is the bar called there where everyone has their after ride beers?
The petit chalet, the petit chalet.
Ah, there you go, the petit chalet. Yeah. There you go. So let's say this young girl comes up to you and says, Isaline, I've heard about this enduro stuff. I really want to get into this. What do I need to do? So what do you tell her?
Okay, so first, get a bike. Get a bike with full suspension, preferably, normally. And just like go and ride your bike in your garden, like not in your garden, but just the trail that you have, because you can do biking on the walking trails. It's not very legal, but but yeah, just go do some uphills to pedal a little bit and try to ride the downhills. And if you want to get better at it, you can do like bike parks a little bit and just train to go uphill. And go with your friends, because it's good to ride with guys and girls that goes faster than you. Just try to follow them and learn from them their experience. And I think that also riding all kind of terrains, just don't go. It's good to ride your home trails, to know good your home trails before going elsewhere, but you have to try to ride all kind of terrains and go in valleys and go in Neuchâtel and go in other countries to discover all there is to do with a mountain bike. And that's it, actually.
Okay, so basically ride your bike a lot.
Yeah.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Make friends.
Make friends.
Yeah, very important.
And ride your bike a lot in many different places. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And also, like, ride your home trails, because it's important to know your place and not go. You don't need to go in a bike park. You have a lot of trails around your place, and you just don't know it yet. Just have to go there and try to find them, and yeah, that would be a good start.
Okay, very good. I think that is already a very, very good summary, I guess. If you think taking a step further, so okay, we talked about, and we need bike skills, we need some fitness, we need to have friends, we need to be comfortable with different terrain. So not everything is super steep like Grillon and slippery. Something is also rocky and dusty. So we want to get used to all these different things. So if you think about skills that young person wants to get into racing at some stage, what kind of skills would you say should this young person focus on?
It's kind of a difficult question, because enduro biking is very a wide sport, and so you need to know how to go uphill. It's weird to say it, but you need to go uphill sometimes. You need to know how to go downhill in all kind of terrains, and yeah, some section will be very steep. Some section will be very flat with rocks and trail style. Some section will be more flowy with like in a bike park. There will be some jumps sometimes, so you need to know how to jump a little bit. Not some big jumps at first, but just know how to jump a little bit. And yeah, so it's, you have to try everything, and it will come with the experience. I think it's kind of a sport of experience. So you can't just learn how to ride your bike in one day. So it's not like, I don't know, skiing. It's a bit maybe easier. You just put some skis on, do some snowblade, and you go down, and it with pretty
pizza
good
and
exactly nobody is okay. No, you have to go step by step, and every time you go out there, you will learn something new, for sure. So yeah, just be patient. Just try to not to fall too much, because it hurts a lot when you fall. And that's it.
How did you go about kind of steering your own development? I know, I guess, as the writer yourself, you probably don't have such an active perspective on your development. But let's say, over the years, how has your writing progressed?
Actually, coming from skiing, the lines, the choice of lines, it was kind of easy for me at first. But the speed, it was not easy to manage, because I was going too fast, too quick. So I was crashing a lot when I was when I was beginning. And so, yeah, I had to manage this, the risky part of it, and try to stay on my bike. Again, it's a weird thing to say, but it was difficult. And then when I managed to find the right judgment call, to do the right judgment when it was it come to riding downhill, I focused a little bit more on how to move my bike, how to move my body on the bike to try to get the
balance.
Exactly, like how to balance yourself on the bike, and then the speed came just slowly, actually, and you build your speed just by balancing yourself on the bike and just letting go of the brakes just slowly and not too fast.
Bryson, what is your impression?
What I really liked to hear is that she admits that there is just no getting away from just putting time on your bike. And it's true. I mean, we're going to have to realize it or tell the people, like, that's pretty much the secret. And anyone who wants to start out, okay, it seems a little bit ominous, like, oh, so I just like ride up a hill and then ride down a trail and then ride up a hill and ride down a trail. Yeah, it's as simple as that. I mean, along the way, you're going to get inspired to, I don't know, you see a little jump, or you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to try and climb faster this time. These little adventures are going to happen every time. And then that's how a lot of us get hooked, is like, we get this idea of like, oh, I can just like try to do anything. And then you do it, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes you have a lot of fun, and then you kind of it just blossoms from there. And so, yeah, I mean, she's completely right. You just get up on your bike and you go, and eventually magic things happen.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I think both of you say some interesting things, which I want to pick out. And I guess the notion of spending a lot of time on your bike is really important, because that teaches you efficiency. You know, you mentioned it, you need to learn how to ride uphill, and sometimes it's technical, sometimes it's not. And so, but it helps you gauge your effort, right? How many chips am I putting on the table? Am I getting to the top and I'm completely blown, and then I'm, you know, not concentrated on the downhill? Do I need too much energy on the uphill, so then I don't have a sprint in me for the downhill, or for the, you know, finishing sprint, or whatever it is? And the other thing, again, that Isaline said that I think is really important, and Bryson also picked up on it, is this notion of speed. I guess with enduro is an important feature. So kind of getting to being comfortable at not going 100%, but getting to that comfortable 80%-ish speed, where you're going really fast, but you're not completely riding on the ragged edge. You're still in control. You have good body position. You know where things are. You minimize the risk of crashing. So that is a kind of an important place to learn. Whereas, for example, downhill is much more on the ragged edge. Of course, yes, you're not riding 100%, because that's also not efficient for a downhill racer, but maybe at more like 90 to 95%. Whereas an enduro, especially if you think about these are multi-day events. So let's say it's a one-day race, and then that means it's a one-day practice on top. So you don't want to be going 100% for 2 days. So you need to learn that efficiency. And so that is, I guess, something that, especially in Switzerland and certainly in the Alps, there's a lot of tools that you can use to do that. And I guess bike parks, certainly over the last 10 years, have been a great addition to the arsenal for people, you know, having access to the Alps, be it directly or indirectly, to practice this kind of comfort speed, let's put it that way. Have you been working specifically on that, or is that something that you developed the natural intuition for?
I've been working to get my comfort speed, I think, because like you said, like enduro biking is very different from downhill biking. You have to find your 80% and not be over the limit, because you have like 5 runs in day in the races. But even when you don't race, you don't want to crash on the first run. If, for example, you go to Finale and you have 4 days to ride, you don't want to get hurt on the first day. And it's kind of the same each time you go riding in your bike. But I had to work a lot because I crashed too often. I was too much on the ground, I would say. And so I had to back it up a little bit, go slower, and just try and also follow a lot of people. Even going the people who were going faster, but just smarter, just follow their move, and it was very. I learned a lot of things with them, and then bike parks were good to get a bit more speed in a more comfortable way, because you go fast on bike parks, and because the trails are made for this. And yeah, I think if you combine the two, it brings you to a comfort zone where you can go fast, but you know your limits a little bit more.
And you have the space to actually explore the limits, and you don't have to deal with pedaling up the hill. So that's the main benefit of bike parks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Bryson, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, so we're talking about enduro in general, and another very important part of enduro is the endurance part, which also includes the longevity of not only yourself, but your equipment. So are you the kind of person who takes like a giant pack, extra derailleur, 500 zip ties, or are you doing minimalist and trying to, make the best of it? Like, what's your plan on a normal riding day, and what's your plan on a race day when it counts?
On a normal riding day and on a race day, I think I would be the kind of person who is minimalist. I don't take a lot of things, because I'm quite lucky with mechanical issues. I didn't have a lot of mechanical issues.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, exactly. No, but
don't say anything now.
Exactly. Yeah, I touch wood. No, but apart from sometimes a puncture, but I have a tire with me, not a tire, but
tube.
A tube. Yeah, thanks. But no, I don't take a lot of things, because I don't ride with a backpack. I don't like the weight of the backpack, and I think that if you are smart, also like how you ride, tells a lot of your bike tells a lot of how you ride, right? Because if you choose your line good, your bike stays alive like you. And if you are a little bit more like full into it, don't choose your line, your bike will feel a bit this full gas on.
So what's the worst mechanical moment you've had?
I broke my brake lever on the first stage of a big, big race called Equinox. It's the longest race I would have done if I didn't break my brake lever. So yeah, I broke my brake lever and it was done actually, because I was already not on the first one to get up the hill, mm-hmm. up the first stage. And so I did the stage mid run. I broke my lever and I was like, okay, it's finished for me. Yeah, exactly. But I went back, I changed myself and I went to cheer my friends. So it was good.
Okay. So proper enduro spirit. But what's the, okay, maybe let's give us a good mechanical success story. So race day, you had a mechanical and you're able to fix it. Do you have one of those?
It's a difficult question because I didn't break a lot of things on my bike. Oh, but I had one time a puncture. It's a classical thing. I had a puncture and I got down the stage. I lost some time, but it was okay. And I was very angry at myself and at my bike. But I was surrounded by my friends and they just took my bike, changed my tube. I didn't ask for anything. I was like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And I was like, no, okay. Just go and get angry in the side and we will take care of your bike. And they changed my tube and I just finished the race just for the fun. But with my friends, it was great. Like very, really spirit of the enduro, you know?
It's the enduro pit crew.
Exactly.
Okay, our dear common friend, Louisa, she was putting in a question for you where she wanted to have your take on it. And she wanted to know, in your view, what is more important, fitness or skills?
From my point of view, it will be skills because I'm not great at fitness, fitness-wise. So skills are very important. It's what gets you down the hill. It's not what gets you up the hill for sure, but you can get up the hill, like take 1 hour if you want to take 1 hour. In the regional races, you are allowed to take a lot of time. But then if you are good at the downhill part, you will have a good time and you will be good in the races, but also you will have fun. Just have fun. If you are not scared, you have not enough skills, you will have to go get off your bike and so just walk down the trails, and this is not fun.
Okay, but what other things are you doing today in your training apart from just you know, the other first principles that we mentioned before? You know, making friends and not being terrible at fixing your bike. And what other training are you doing?
Since I got a little bit more serious about racing, I do a lot of physical training. You have to train. I have to go to the fitness. I do group training, physical training with my coach. And I have to build my endurance too. So I do road biking, I go on long rides, mountain biking also, or skiing, you know, like uphill. Yeah, so you Skimo. Have to do this kind of stuff. Yeah, you have to do this kind of stuff in the winter. It's not always fun, but you get around it. And you have to keep going out and ride your bike also downhill, just to don't forget how to ride. And we try to go in finale once or twice during the winter to ride a bit more dry terrain, let's say. And I think that's it for me.
Bryson, how does your training schedule look like?
Can you define the word training? I'm on preseason 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah, my preseason 1.0 didn't work.
You're reaching your full eating potential.
Exactly.
Your inner kung fu panda.
I'm fueled up, ready to go at any time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I guess we want to wrap this development discussion up a little bit. If we want to put together a summary for our listeners of what we think the key things are for a young person that wants to get into the sport. What are those things again? Maybe Bryson, do you want to start?
Yes, teacher. Having fun. I forgot the other ones. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to lean on Iselin here.
Having fun sounds like a good one. Iselin, what would be your top three things for the young person?
Having fun. Yeah, of course. Going out and just ride your bike at home or not at home, in bike parks or everywhere, actually. And do a little bit of physical training, I think.
Very good. Of course, I did prepare for this conversation, so I put down a few more thoughts. I think the important one we've made, as I said, fun first, work second. I believe that bike racing will get hard enough soon enough. Depending on the discipline, it'd be very hard. I would focus on a broad set of skills. So, you know, don't only ride your road bike, also ride your mountain bike, your dirt jumper if you have one, your BMX if you have one, or if you have access to one. There's great places you can go all over Switzerland. What comes to mind to me right now is the Skills Park in Winterthur or the Wheel Park in Sarnen. I'm sure in the French part of Switzerland, there's other places you can go where you can rent them relatively cheaply. There is indoor pump tracks. There is indoor dirt jumps. There's airbags, all these kind of things that help you develop as a rider. I would get comfortable with fixing my own bike because that's something you would need whatever discipline you'll do. And you will generally be much quicker back on your bike if you know how to fix it yourself. And yeah, I guess overall fitness is a good one too. Just be an active person. Spend a lot of time on your bike. Ride it everywhere, you know, to school and back, to the shops and back, to the trails and back. That generally helps to build a big base. And, you know, use other sports to develop a skills base that are not only riding a bike, sitting on it and pedaling. And, you know, I'm thinking of skiing like Iselin. I'm thinking of cross-country skiing. I'm thinking of rowing or swimming or team sports, if that's your kind of thing. And yeah, Bryson wanted to say something else.
I do have a wild card laid down. It's something that I've seen from time to time. Not everyone does it, but it does occur. I'll be riding on a trail and I'll pass like two dudes or whatever people on the trail, bike upside down. They're like spinning the crank, they're looking at the derailleur, whatever. And like I slow down my pace and I'll be like, hey guys, all good? You need help? You need a pump? You know, because, you know, sometimes you see them fiddling with a tire or trying to look for a tool or, you know, you kind of like assess the situation and you think they look like they need help. And so you slow down and you'll be like, you guys are good? And they're like, yeah, fine. Maybe there's a bit of hesitation and you're kind of like, they probably need help. So I want to say one really cool thing about the mountain biking culture is there's a lot of people who are willing to help you. There's a lot of really nice people. This is one of the reasons I stay in the culture. I love the people that I meet. It is probably the number one. And yeah, if you're on the trail and you're on the side there and something's wrong and someone passes by and offers help, take it up. Like you could make a friend. You could make a lifelong friend. You could make a day friend. Make your day better. Make their day better. And maybe have a beer at the end together. It's really a great culture for that kind of thing. And so I think it definitely has to be said on this podcast.
Be a little bit kinder than you need to be. All right. So then, final thing I want to say before we wrap it up is racing. We talked a lot about riding and just getting a better rider. Of course, with racing, enduro specifically, that's a bit more challenging because generally enduro racing is only available once you are a little bit older. The Swiss Enduro Series have gone a novel route with a U15 category, where if you are below the age of 13, you can participate with a chaperone. So that means you need to ask a buddy, your dad, your mom, someone else that's a bit older than you are, if he wants to join you for this race, and you can actually be part of the race. Otherwise, in cross country, for example, there is skills-based racing from the age of 7 and a path that leads you all the way to the Olympics if you want to, via the Swiss Cups. There's many other disciplines where you can get into racing. How did you actually get into racing, Iseline?
Actually, I had, like I said, I had a past of a ski racer. So I always liked to race. And when I started mountain biking, I had in mind to fix a goal to achieve. And this goal was just to finish a race, like finish an endurance race. I knew that it was hard and that it was a good thing to do in the middle of summer. So I went out and rides a lot on my bike just to having this in mind. And so I did. I finished my first race. It was Roc de Besso in Zinal. It's kind of the scariest the technical race, the most technical race I ever did, I think, even now. So I don't recommend to start with this one, but I finished it, even if I had to push my bike a lot. And I finished pretty much last, I think, but yeah, I did all the stages and I was alive at the end. So that was it.
Very cool. And I think that's the race is still around. And there is also the race that's right close by you, Le Chablatz, is also back as in a new format, in a teams format, I believe. That also looks like a ton of fun. It's scary as hell if it's wet. I will never do it if it rains.
But it's a bit sad because the Chablatz, it will be the last edition this year. So I recommend to go and just to do it because it's the last time it will be organized. But it's a really a fun race also because of the cheering people, the helping people. They are all cheering for you and it's such a great atmosphere to be around. And also it's why I fell in love with racing because Zinal was kind of the same thing. And I was kind of the nerd there, you know, like just with the worst equipment and just pushing my bike every technical bit. But everyone was very welcoming and they just helped me sometimes. And I made some friends. So it's why I kept going to these races and met a lot of other people, and then I quite find a new family there with the Helvetic Cup at first. So it's what keep me going and what why I did races. It was just for this more than the part where you win races or you are on the podium. I will recommend to go and do the Chablatz for the last one.
Well, we'll definitely put the links to Le Chablatz into the show notes. Iseline, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, I think we went through a lot, so...
Okay, cool. Well, in that case, I think we go to our closeout questions, if that's okay. So we at the end of each episode, we ask our guests 3 questions. The first one of those is... Please tell us a little bit more about the bike that got you really stoked about riding.
I loved all my bikes, so it's a very difficult question. But I think, my first bike, it was I didn't have a lot of bike in my life, so I had only 3. It's not a lot. So my first bike, it was a Noco Ranch, aluminium one, very heavy, very hard to ride uphill. But I did, but it was so nice to ride downhill, very stable, just like a sofa. Now I think it's like a sofa, but it was a really good bike to start on.
Okay, very nice. Friend of mine has the same bike. He absolutely loves it, so I trust you. Our second question is, imagine yourself as a bike magician extraordinaire. and you can make mountain biking better for anyone with the stroke of your magic dropper post, what would you do?
Make like a knee bike, but which is not an e-bike. You don't know that it's an e-bike. It's like very light and you don't have the shame to have an e-bike, but it goes very well uphill and then it goes very well downhill, I would say. Too easy. I know. It's not very original.
It's not the same struggle.
But e-bike is a great topic. Equally great topic is skids. So you are on the trail. Maybe it's not a race, but I want you to tell us and the listeners of your idea of the perfect skid.
It will be in a very steep trail, I think, like where I live. And like you see, like Vincent Tupin, everyone want to know Vinici. And he does the skids like everywhere down the very steep trails, and it's around my place. So this is the perfect skids, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're delicious.
Well, that's the way you ride in Grillon and all these steep chutes. It's just you pull your rear brake at the top and then see you down there.
It's one large skid.
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Well, Lisaline, that was really, really cool. Thank you very much for your time. If our listeners want to find out more about you or get in touch with you, where can they find you?
They can write me on Instagram. I have my Instagram account, just my name, followed by VK, and that's it. So yeah, Instagram is a good way to find me.
Absolutely. Cool. Then we'll put that in the show notes so people can find it. And with that, I think we close it out for tonight. Thank you very much for your time. And hopefully see you out on the trail soon.
Thank you for inviting me on the podcast. And yeah, hopefully we see you maybe on the race or just on the trails.
Ha! We will be in Lutschenthal. No, in Leukebad.
Ah, yeah.
For the hardtail race.
I would be there, but with my own Enduro bike.
Exactly. It'll be good fun. Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Pascal and I put a lot of heart and soul into this podcast, and it means a lot to us that you've listened to it. We'd also really appreciate if you shared it with the people that you know and care about. Until next time, Skigglers.